Good to be back this evening to worship the Lord, and we appreciate your presence, and we have those who are visiting. We're thankful that you're here, and I hope that our time spent in singing and praying will be encouraging. And we do want to talk about the Lord's work this evening and the importance of staying busy in the kingdom. I would say that of the Lord's work, that which is probably most challenging to us is the work of evangelism, evangelizing the lost. We do well with being benevolent toward needy saints. We have a standing treasury, and we take from that, and we help those who are needy saints. We do well with encouraging those who are already saved, the work of encouragement. So benevolence and then edification in our sermons and in our Bible classes. I would say that evangelism, though, is probably the one that challenges us the most. And I want to encourage us to stay busy doing the Lord's work. And to do that, we're going to look at the little book of Haggai this evening to encourage us to keep building in the kingdom. I include myself when I say that's probably one of our biggest challenges, is staying busy doing the Lord's work. It's easy to let other things crowd out our time and other things in our life, and we find ourselves not doing what the Lord wants us to do. So the Apostle Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, being steadfast and always abounding in the work of the Lord. And we're going to see this evening that it's good for us to be reminded, God's people need reminding from time to time to stay busy doing the Lord's work. It's easy maybe to get into a rut. It's easy to get into a routine or just sort of a normal thing and forget that we need to be busy building in the Lord's kingdom. So I hope that the encouragements that Haggai gave God's people then will be encouraging for us this evening. The place where I want us to begin before we go to that little book of Haggai is in the book of Ezra. You may recall that when God's people come back from the Babylonian captivity, if you'll turn with me to the book of Ezra, we're going to look at a few verses in chapter 4 here eventually, that when God's people come back from the Babylonian captivity around 538 BC, that they begin to lay the foundation of the temple a couple of years later. In chapter 1 and 2, we have the return of some of the individuals who come back. There will be more who will come back later under the leadership of Zerubbabel in chapter 1 and 2. More will come back under Ezra and others under Nehemiah. But these that come back in chapters 1 and 2 will, in chapter 3, in verse 8, they will come and they will lay the foundation of the temple. So they're doing the Lord's work. They're beginning to restore the temple as he would have them to do. But what we find is that the work soon stopped and they didn't get past the foundation. And the encouragement this evening is to make sure that we go beyond the foundation. It's great to get started on something. It's great to get a congregation started, but we need to go beyond the foundation. So we find in chapter 4, verse 1, that the work soon stopped. And it's going to stop for about 16 years. That's quite a long period of time. Notice with me in chapter 4 and verse 1, let's read together. Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity were building a temple unto Jehovah, the God of Israel, then they drew near to Zerubbabel and to the heads of the fathers' houses and said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do. And we sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Assyria, who brought us up here. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua, the rest of the heads of the fathers' houses of Israel, said unto them, you have nothing to do with us in building a house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build unto Jehovah, the God of Israel, as King Cyrus, king of Persia, hath commanded us. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So that's going to be about 16 years right there, from 536 BC down to about 520. Imagine a foundation laying out there, eventually with weeds growing up and rubble sitting around. And you see a start, but you don't see a finish. You see a great attitude, but they need to keep working. And so we find in verse 3 that Zerubbabel has a great attitude. We ourselves together will build unto Jehovah, but it didn't last very long. And so it just lays dormant there. We find in verse 6, in the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, wrote they an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem and in the days of Artaxerxes. Just as a side note, chapter 4 is not chronological in order. It's topical in nature. Verse 6, Ahasuerus, that's actually in the days of Esther, after tonight's story. And verse 7, Artaxerxes, that's in the days of Nehemiah. That's after tonight's story. So what the author is doing is he's not going chronologically down through here, but he's simply listing that right now in the days of Cyrus there is opposition. There will be some later in the days of Esther, verse 6. There'll be some in the days of Nehemiah, verse 7, down through verse 23. So 7 through 23 deals with the time of Nehemiah. Then we come to verse 24. Then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So that's going to be about 16 years, 536 down to about 520. The work ceased. And it ceased until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia, 520. Now the prophets Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem. In the name of the God of Israel prophesied they unto them. Then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jehozadak, and began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, and with them were the prophets of God helping them. We'll come back to that later. Then, of course, there's opposition again in verse 3 down through the rest of the chapter. Just sort of summarizing some things, you come to chapter 6 where Darius finds the decree that Cyrus had given permission for the Jews to rebuild, and he re-invokes that, if you will. He brings that up again and says, let these people build, and they do that. And in chapter 6 and verse 15, and this house was finished on the third day of the month, in the month of Adar, which was in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. So about 516 B.C. So when they did start building again, it only took them 4 years to finish. 520 down to 516. The rest of the chapter, the offering up the sacrifices, there's great joy. Verse 22, and the Lord is blessing their work. What we find is that God's people had been kept from building. And when you look at chapter 5, we find that Haggai and Zechariah, two prophets, two minor prophets, are sent to stir them up to resume their work. And what we're going to find is that they got busy. And Haggai and Zechariah were with them, and it took them about 4 years. What encouragement did Haggai give? And what can we learn from that encouragement this evening? Look at chapter 4 and verse 24. The text says that the work ceased until the second year, so about 16 years. What caused it to cease? What caused the work to stop? Well, first of all, if you look at chapter 4, you're going to find that there was external opposition. There will always be people on the outside, people in the world who will try to keep us from doing the Lord's work. They will be negative in some way. They will put up resistance in some way. And we can think of some modern day examples of that where people don't want us to evangelize. They make it harder to do what we need to do in preaching and teaching the Lord's work. I saw a story last week where in China, currently in China, you're not allowed to evangelize anyone under 18 years old. And you can get in some serious trouble for trying to share Jesus Christ with somebody under 18 years old. And it was coming, the report was coming from a so-called Christian denominational group that was trying to do some work in that area, and they're trying to find other ways to reach young people. But you stop and think about young people not hearing about Christ all their entire youth, where that's much of where their character is formed and where their life is being formed, and they're just not allowed to be told about Jesus Christ. And so you wonder why that nation and others like them are so worldly in many kinds of ways. So there will always be external opposition, and that's what we find in chapter 4. But the story doesn't end there. That's not all that is going on. There are serious things outside the church today that could oppose what we're trying to do. What we're going to find this evening when we turn to the book of Haggai is that there was also internal distraction from God's own people. Yes, there was external opposition, but there was also internal attitudes that were going on among God's people. And we're going to look at four of them this evening. They themselves had some attitudes that they needed to get rid of so that the work could continue. And I want us to look at those four this evening and look at our own lives and see if there is any area of improvement where we can shed these things and be busy doing the Lord's work. What we're going to find, if you'll turn with me now to the little book of Haggai, the two chapters in Haggai, these two small chapters contain four messages of the prophet Haggai. We're going to find that he's going to deal with four different internal distractions. And let's look at those this evening. We're going to find that God's people suffered internally from four things. A misappropriation of time, misunderstanding their own personal time and how they're going to use their own personal time. Number two, they suffered from misplaced priorities. They focused on their own material things rather than on doing the Lord's work. Number three, we're going to find that they were resting on their laurels, we used to say. Resting on past accomplishments. Look at what we've done in the past, and can we just sort of hang out there rather than presently stay busy? And then number four, we're going to find that some of them suffered from uncleanness, so just sin. And people's lives can keep us from doing the Lord's work. Let's look this evening at this book of Haggai. So if you'll turn with me to Haggai chapter 1 and verse 1, let's look at this message. And it's interesting how these two men, both Haggai and Zechariah, they come, they stir up the leadership, they stir up the people. They themselves join in the work. It wasn't a matter of just, hey, you guys better get to work. But they themselves got their hands dirty in building that temple, and as a result, took about 4 years, God's work was done. What did Haggai say to these people? Look at Haggai chapter 1 and verse 1. In the second year of Darius king, about 520 BC, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of Jehovah by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. This is around the 1st of September, so it's pretty close to about the time of the year that we're experiencing right now. The next message will be along about October, and then the last two messages in chapter 2 will be about December. So in just a few months' period of time, Haggai has these four messages, and they're really short and to the point. But they're very effective. Look at verse 2. Thus speaketh Jehovah of hosts, saying, this people say, it is not the time for us to come, the time for Jehovah's house to be built. Then came the word of Jehovah by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your sealed houses while this house lieth waste? Now therefore, thus saith Jehovah of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. Clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Verses 6 is talking about the different punishments that God was giving on the people at this time for not building the temple. They were being punished physically. They were hurting physically with their crops and other things because they weren't doing God's work. What was their first problem? The people were saying, it is not the time for us to come. Their first problem was that of neglecting time. They were using their time, but not to do the Lord's work. So I would challenge us this evening as we begin, can we use a little more time to do the Lord's work? Would we consider, for example, one evening during the week, and maybe just a portion of that evening to go do something in the Lord's work? To go make a visit or to try to study with someone. Could we just start with one evening and just a portion of that evening, maybe a couple of hours? When you think about how long it would take, for example, to go visit somebody, just a few minutes to the building, you meet somebody here at the building, you're going to ride with them and visit. So a few minutes to the building and you go do your visit and then you come back and you go home, maybe a couple of hours. Would we consider maybe giving some more time to the Lord's work? One of their problems was that they had the same amount of time that everybody has, but they were using it, as we're going to see in a minute, for their own purposes. And you can imagine some of them walking through town, and you see that foundation over there. The weeds are all grown up, and they can tell it's not done. But they're walking by. They've got time to do their own personal things and take care of their work and school and hobbies. And I'm sure they had hobbies and different things going on. And where did the time go? And we got to get to bed and get up to work tomorrow. And then I'm tired from work and I'm tired from school and I'm tired with the family obligations and running here and running there. And pretty soon a day goes by and then a week goes by and months and then years. And it was laying there for 16 years. It's a long period of time. They suffered from an internal attitude of how they were going to use their time. The Lord certainly wants us to have a home and family and go to school. And the Bible certainly talks about work. And we need to be doing these things. But let us balance our time so that we can give some of it to the Lord. And so in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16, let's redeem the time. Buy up the opportunity. Could we start with just one night out of 7 nights in a week? Could we just give one to come and do something? And not even the whole evening, just a part of it. If the answer is yes, then let's get together and work together. That's how we'll grow. If we want to be sitting in this building 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, 40 years from now, if we want our children and our grandchildren to be sitting in this building, we're going to have to do some work. And the hardest, I would say, of the three works of the church, I would say the hardest is probably evangelism. And it's going to require some time. So Haggai addresses their time. And I want us to consider our time this evening. Let's look at the second thing that he considers, starting in chapter 1 and verse 7. The second thing that they suffered from was misplaced priorities. They were focusing on the material things of their life, particularly their own personal homes, and they weren't taking care of the Lord's house. Look at verse 7. Thus says Jehovah of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith Jehovah. And here again is the repetition of the punishments, like in verse 6. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, says Jehovah of hosts, underscore this, because my house lieth waste, while you run every man to his own house. You're taking care of your own material things, but you're not bothering to build my house. Verse 10, therefore, for your sake, the heavens withhold the dew and the earth withholdeth its fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the grain and upon the new wine and upon the oil and upon that which the ground brings forth and upon men and upon cattle and upon all that labor of thy hands. We think sometimes that when God's people came back from the Babylonian captivity that everything was just rosy. No, they had some problems, and it was because they weren't doing the Lord's work. And so they were taking care of their own houses, but they weren't building the Lord's house. And if you back up to verse 4, notice the text says, is it time for you to dwell in your sealed houses, plastered houses? They were spending extra money to have really nice homes. homes that were plastered at that time would have been more expensive than just throwing up a little old shack. They were really putting some time and money into their own homes, and that's what the priority was. And my house lieth waste, and God is upset. And I include myself that all of us can be guilty, if we're not careful, of misplaced priorities. And we need to put the kingdom first, Matthew 6:33. And we have to be careful, Luke 8:14, that the word is not getting choked out by the riches and cares and pleasures of this life. We've got to be careful, Luke 9:57-62, that we'll do some things for the Lord, but first let me go do this. And then we never get around to doing the Lord's work. Jesus said in John 4:34 that my meat is to do the will of my Father. And we must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. John 9:47. Jesus had a compulsion, a drive about Him, a compulsion to be responsible. I must do this while it's day. Our days are running out. We're all getting older and we're running out of time. And can we use more of that in a better service to do the Lord's work? The Macedonians in 2 Corinthians 8:5, before they gave a penny in their contribution, the text says they gave themselves to the Lord. So the second thing that Haggai wanted to remind God's people is that you serve God, put Him first in your life. It's hard to readjust priorities. It's hard to go home and reassess that and redo that. There has to be schedule changes and other kinds of things. And so a lot of times we just simply don't do it. It's just we think it's too hard. But if we'll look at our week and then ask ourselves, can we make sure at least beyond the two services, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and the Wednesday night service, beyond that, which is a given, is there something we can be doing in the Lord's work? Let the material things of this life go. That's not as important as making sure the Lord's house, God's people today, the church, is being built. Let's look at the third thing that Haggai addresses. We'll come back to verses 12 through 15 in just a minute. Come with me to chapter 2 and verse 1. The third thing that Haggai addresses here is they were being kept from doing the Lord's work because they were resting on past accomplishments. In the 7th month, in the 1 and 20th day of the month, came the word of Jehovah by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, who is left among you that saw this house in its former glory?" That's Solomon's temple, before it was destroyed in 586 by the Babylonians. Who saw Solomon's temple? You know, that big, glorious temple. Remember seeing that? And there were some who were in their youth when they went into the Babylonian captivity. They were actually old enough to remember Solomon's temple all the way through the Babylonian captivity. And now they come back and they remember as a youth seeing Solomon's temple. And then now they're looking at this this foundation laying out there. "Who of you saw this house in its former glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes as nothing?" Some of them had the attitude, well, man, I remember when Solomon's temple was big and glorious and things were great back then. This little thing out here, it's nothing. I mean, the dimensions of it are smaller than Solomon's temple. And, it's not going to be anything. Let's not finish that. Verse 4, "Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith Jehovah, and be strong, O Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith Jehovah, and work. For I am with you, saith Jehovah of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit abode among you, fear ye not. For thus says Jehovah of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the precious things of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith Jehovah of hosts." One way that that happened was in Ezra chapter 6. Darius sent money and other things back with the Jews to make sure that that temple was rebuilt. And so the glory of the nations actually came and filled the house of God. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith Jehovah of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former glory, saith Jehovah of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith Jehovah of hosts. One thing that we have to be careful about, brethren, is that we're resting on past accomplishments. Well, I remember when the Warfield Boulevard Church was big in the 90s or in this year or in this decade. And I remember when we had this and I remember when we had this. And you remember back in the 1950s when the churches were booming after World War II and members of the church were building buildings that built 500 and 600 members. The Riverside Drive Church of Christ on the north side of Nashville built a building that would pack 500 to 600 people. I've been in church buildings that were built with balconies and all kinds of stuff going on for 500 to 600 people. So in 2019, do we just need to be resting on past accomplishments and talk about the way things used to be years ago and the way we used to evangelize years ago and the way that people used to obey the gospel years ago? And then we find ourselves that we're not doing anything today if we're not careful. We're talking about the past. We're sitting back and wringing our hands. Oh, I wish we could go back to the 1950s when churches were big and people would come to be baptized in droves. And if we're not careful, we find ourselves not doing anything in the present. And that's what they were doing. Some of them had seen the former glory and how great Solomon's temple was, and it had just caused them to, well, we're just not going to do anything now. So knowing that, there's nothing wrong with remembering the past and there's nothing wrong with learning from the past, but make sure that it doesn't cripple us in the present. So let's stay busy doing the Lord's work now. What are we accomplishing in 2019? What are we doing now? We can all, probably most of us here this evening, could say that in some other city and in some other time and some other situation, the church building was packed full of people. But what are we doing now at Warfield Boulevard in 2019? Let's make sure that we're continuing to work. And then look at Haggai's fourth message, chapter 2 and verse 10. Haggai is going to address the problem of personal uncleanness. So let's always be abounding in the work of the Lord. Let's not just rest on past accomplishments. In the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, now we're up to around the December period of time, the word of the Lord came to Jehovah by Haggai the prophet, saying, thus says Jehovah of hosts, ask now the priest concerning the law, saying, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any food, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, no. Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by reason of a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. Then answered Haggai and said, so is this people and so is this nation before me, saith Jehovah, and so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. There was something about them that was unclean, spiritually speaking. And so sin can keep people from working. Not being right with God can keep people from working. Sin in our life can keep us from doing what we're supposed to be doing. And so Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 6:14-7:1, to come out and be separate. Touch no unclean thing, says the Lord. We've got to stay away from immorality and worldliness and all of those things that are going on out in the world. If some of that comes into our life, just a little bit of it, it keeps us from wholly giving ourselves to doing the Lord's work. And maybe we can look back in our own lives and see that to be the case. But when we remove that and get that completely out, then we are zoned in on each day fully serving the Lord. So uncleanness had kept them from doing the Lord's work. Well, as we wrap up Haggai's message, consider this evening then what we can learn from these kinds of things. Can we use our time a little bit better each week to do something in the Lord's work? Can we make better priorities and make sure that the Lord's work is done first and then let the other come if it does? Can we not rest on past accomplishments but on present work? And can we make sure that any uncleanness is removed from our life? Haggai and Zechariah gave a number of different encouragements. First of all, they said that what they were saying was the word of the Lord. It wasn't their opinion. And when God's people heard the word of the Lord, they were stirred up. Nobody is interested in somebody's opinions or think-sos. And they brought up past punishments. They were actually being punished by God for not doing the Lord's work, and I believe that He will do that with us today. He encourages them by saying, God will be with you and help you. Look at chapter 1 and verse 13. Then spake Haggai, Jehovah's messenger, in Jehovah's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, says Jehovah. And I believe God is still with us today, and through His providential hand, He will help us to do His work. Haggai says, be strong and do not fear. There's going to be times when we're tired and we need strength. There's going to be times when we're afraid and we need courage to talk to that person, that co-worker, that neighbor. Pray about it first and be strong and do not fear. Invite them to the service. Set up the Bible study. Pass out the bulletin or whatever we might be trying to do. We want the church to grow. We want this building to have some souls in it when we're dead and gone. And in order to do that, we're going to have to do the work now. Be strong and do not fear. Haggai also says that the leadership needs to make sure that they are leading the people. And so there are a number of verses here that talk about Zerubbabel, the political leader, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, the spiritual leader. The leadership needs to be stirred up to keep working. And then when the leaders are mentioned, chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, and the remnant of the people. We have to get in behind them and work together. And then Haggai talks about future promises that will come and future blessings that will come if they will follow the Lord's word and get to work. And so, the last part of chapter 2 and verse 19, from this day will I bless you. And we'll be blessed at the Warfield Boulevard Church. If we'll work, God will make sure that we're blessed. And then, Haggai and Zechariah, the two preachers, in Ezra chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, says, and they got in and did work too. So myself and any preacher that is encouraging brethren to work, we have to get our hands dirty as well. Let's work together. Let's join together and do what we need to do. So there were these encouragements. As we close, I ask the question, what is needed then today? First of all, what we need is to consider our own lives. Let's go home and sit down and consider what we're doing. Notice there are four times in this book where Haggai says, consider. Consider your ways, chapter 1 and verse 5, verse 7, 2:15. Consider from this day, 2:18. Consider, I pray you. Just sitting down, turn the TV off, put the phone down, just stop and consider what is going on. How I'm using my week, how I'm using my day, how I'm using my time, and can I make some changes? But just some quiet, careful introspection and consideration. If we're just constantly on the run, we never stop and consider the changes that we need to make. So that would help us. What else do we need? Well, just at some point, we just got to get up and go. In chapter 1 and verse 8, get up, go to the mountain and bring wood and build this house. You know, a lot of times we talk about coming to the church building, and those are great lessons. We need to come. But after we come, we need to go. We need to go outside of this building, that's the harder part, and bring the wood and build the Lord's house. Talk is good. Planning is good. Discussion is good, but at the end of the day, we've got to get up and go. That's the hard part. And if we will, there will be those benefits and those blessings. And in chapter 1 and verse 8, when you get up and go, Haggai says, I will take pleasure in it. I will be glorified. Go is the hard part. Obedience. I love this. In chapter 1 and verse 12, when Haggai and Zechariah preached, the people didn't just dismiss them and blow them off and they don't know what they're talking about. And preacher, go home. We've been happy for 16 years not working. Don't come in here and rock the boat and stir up things. No, look at their attitude. Zerubbabel and Joshua, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of Jehovah their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as Jehovah their God had sent him. And the people did fear before Jehovah. Then spake Haggai, Jehovah's messenger, in Jehovah's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith Jehovah. And Jehovah stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work on the house of Jehovah of hosts, their God, in the 4th and 20th day of the month, in the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king. There was obedience. There was fear. They feared God. They were stirred up. They were allowed to be stirred up. All of us, myself included, like going around a campfire and poking that stick into it and stirring up those coals, we all need to be stirred up. And I'm sure a number of them had gotten comfortable in that 16-year period of time. I probably would have just gotten comfortable. And it would have been easy to dismiss these two men, Haggai and Zechariah, but their attitude was right, and it says that they got up and obeyed, and they feared God. And they were stirred up. And that says a lot. They weren't doing right. But what says a lot about them was, when Haggai and Zechariah came and preached, they had a great attitude. And they wanted to make those changes. So this evening, as we close, the Lord's work of building still goes on today. In the New Testament, the church is described as a building. Different places. Starts with the foundation of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:10, we're to lay no other foundation than Jesus Christ. And then we're to build on that. We're still building a building today. It's not a physical building. It's the church. It's God's people. It's going to take some work. And Paul talks about in Ephesians 4:12-16, that which every joint supplies. Let's all get together and do our part. We have different talents. We have different abilities. We have different kinds of time and other resources. But let's work together and do the Lord's building. Never let Warfield Boulevard lay dormant. Lay dormant and be satisfied with that. But always being busy doing the Lord's work. If it means using our time better and starting maybe with just one evening a week for the Lord's work, can we reset our priorities, as hard and difficult as that might be? Can we do that? Let's not rest on past accomplishments, and let's remain pure and keep any uncleanness out of our lives that would hinder us wanting to do the Lord's work. It's time to build. What a great thought. We're going to sing the song of encouragement, Jesus, I Come. There may be someone here this evening that needs to be building on Jesus Christ by obeying the gospel. We want to encourage you to come. If there's a child of God that wants to come back and where we can pray together, we encourage that as well. But let's think about, go home and consider. Consider our ways. That's hard to do. Any self-examination is hard, isn't it? Examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Paul says that's one of the hardest examinations, is a self-examination. But it starts there. Consider your ways as I consider my ways. And if we can see some areas of improvement and change, let's do that so the Lord will bless us from this day forward. If we can help you to respond to the gospel, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?